Today's scripture comes from Exodus 4th chapter, 18th verse. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, Let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. Jethro said, Go, and I wish you well. Now the Lord has said to Moses in Midian, Go back to Egypt, for all the men who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you, the power to do so. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, This is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go, so that he may worship me, but you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. The Lord said to Aaron, Go into the desert to meet Moses. So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron, Everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the miraculous signs. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed, bowed down, and worshipped. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert. Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go.
Thank you. look at the way out, another installment, if you will, in this series of messages on the and studies in the book of Exodus. And I'd like to encourage you to turn to Exodus chapter 4 and beginning at verse 18. We're going to look at this passage that Brother Curtis read. Left out a few phrases there, but it would be helpful to you, I think, to see the context of the scriptures. This morning we're going to look at another episode in the Exodus experience. You may have seen the Ten Commandments, the movie. Well, this is Ten Commandments 2, I would say. I don't think there was a sequel to that. Maybe Ben-Hur or one of those. Not everything in the Ten Commandments is really in the Bible. There's some things, some embellishments. You understand that. So let's go back to the source. Let's find out what God's Word really had to say about this very important event. Most would say this was the key event in the forming of the nation of Israel. They were in bondage in Egypt. And you remember, I'm sure, a little bit of the story of how Joseph went to Egypt. Actually, he was sold to Egypt by his brothers. And we who have had little brothers could probably admit to having had thoughts of selling our little brother or little sister. I think we can identify somewhat with that. But I mean, certainly a great tragedy, it would seem, but it was really God's plan. And Joseph understood that it was God's plan to get Israel to Egypt so that God could feed them and take care of them there during the terrible famine that came upon the world shortly after Joseph went there. So that's how the Israelites got to be in Egypt. And they were prospering there. God multiplied them. But the Egyptian leadership began to be, I suppose, jealous or concerned, they would say, that here's a people that aren't really Egyptians, and they are getting more numerous than us, more powerful than us. So what can we do about it? Well, they decided they were going to have some radical birth control methods. Family planning. That was the key, I think. And so they tried to have all of the Israelite boy babies killed. But one survived, at least. And many, I think, I'm not sure that any of the Hebrew midwives actually did what they were commanded to do. I think that, like the apostles in the New Testament, they must have said, well, we must obey God rather than men. And they did the right thing. And so that brings us then to Moses in the wilderness. You may remember he was a shepherd for 40 years. And then he met with God, or God met with him at the burning bush. And God called him to go back to Egypt to deliver his people out of bondage. And so that brings us to our passage today. What lessons can we learn from this passage? Well, first of all, I believe there is a lesson here about family. A family, but family in a general sense, because we are all called to be a part of a family. Now, maybe we are a single person, or we maybe don't have a lot of family ties. It's why God has called us to a family of faith, because we are a family. And we can learn some things here about family and what God expects of a family. Again, we're thinking about the subject, the way out. Exodus really means the way out. And what God was doing here, I think, has, without doubt, spiritual lessons for our lives today. Because one day, we are going to be called out. And we are going to be called out to one of two places, the Bible says, heaven or hell. And so we need to make sure that we are on the right side, that we are on the right side of that faith divide, that we know the God of Moses and the God of the Bible, the God of Jesus Christ, who is God, of course, that we believe in the things that are taught clearly in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. We come together this morning, as every morning, to focus on what God has to say to us. So he speaks to us here about the family. And there are lessons here about its religion. Well, obviously, faith underlies all the things that we read here in the book of Exodus. How God called Moses from the burning bush. How he called Aaron, his brother, who is in Egypt, brought them together. How God gave them a mission to go back to his own people to lead them out of bondage. And I believe this is what we are called to do. Jesus said he had lost sheep, and we are to go after those lost sheep like Moses would have understood. And I think we understand the analogy. We are to be seeking the lost. We are to be bringing them the message of salvation. And there is no other message of salvation than the, and no other way than the way of Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So there's a religion that we can learn from in that family. And I believe it was true of Moses and his family. Now, I don't know that Moses and Zipporah were the strongest marriage. Maybe they had discussions, and I'm sure they did, like every married couple. But I have to believe that Zipporah became a believer, and I know it doesn't maybe look that way here in their little difference of opinion they had about this matter of circumcision that God had commanded. It was all a part of what God had commanded his people to be set apart, to be different from the world. Now, we don't necessarily have to. In fact, the Bible says that if we are circumcised, thinking that by circumcised we'd be saved, it's not the what happens in the flesh that saves us. It's really what happens in our heart. So it's really a matter of faith. There's religion, there's respect, there's resilience. I see resilience here. Now, Moses was kind of unique among many of the people of his day and time. So far as I know, he only had the one wife, Zipporah. And maybe it wasn't the best marriage, but he was faithful and she was faithful to him. There was resilience there because it was a family that was based upon faith and upon a calling, a firm belief that God had a purpose for their family. So there are some very important lessons here, and I'm sure there are many other things that God will impress upon you if you'll take the time to read this book. I think it's so current. I mean, I love the Ten Commandments movie. I don't know how accurate it is. I think it's probably not as accurate as the Bible. Certainly not as accurate as the Bible. But there are so many lessons here that really are connected with the gospel that we're told about in the New Testament and how Jesus came to be our Savior, to lead us out. To lead us out of this world of destruction. One day the Bible says this world is going to be destroyed, burned up. And so, you know, we know we're not going to be here very long. And it's so important that we realize that God is calling us upward. He wants us to be a part of that holy family, that family that is made holy because of the blood of His precious Son that He sent to be our Savior, to die for us on Calvary. But there's also a faith that we can learn from. Family, a faith. And I see that really throughout the passage here, but certainly in the fact that Moses was ready to go. Now, he had excuses to make, like we all do. I can't do this. I'm not skilled. I don't speak very well. Kind of excuses that we all use today. But in the end, he was willing to obey God, to believe God, and to go. And in faith, there are expectations. Did not God say to Moses that he was going to deliver his people, and that he was going to use Moses to do that? He had power, all power. Did not Jesus say, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." It's so current. It's really today. The lessons are for today as well as for then. It's not just a historical story, beautiful, but maybe not true, like some people may think. It is true. That's what's so wonderful about it. And I believe if you're not sure, just say, "Lord, I don't know whether I believe, but I know I need, there's an emptiness in my life, and I need God in my life. I need you. And I'm willing just to experiment, just to let you come into my life and let you lead me, let you make me the person that you want me to be." So faith has expectations. It certainly has expressions. Without expressions, faith is not really faith. And what I mean by expressions is faith that is true faith demonstrates itself. It's not just theoretical. Moses could have stayed in Midian, I suppose, and he could have said, "I believe, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to believe in my heart. I'm just going to be a secret believer." That's not faith. If we have faith, it's going to show itself in our actions. And we see that in Moses going back to what could be his death. Now, God had told him that those who were seeking his life had died, but you know, he could have thought, well, you know, does God really know that? And sometimes I think we question God. And our faith begins sometimes to falter there. But faith that is true faith has expectations. It has expressions. It has exploits. God wants to do great things through us if we'll just let Him. I think there's some Moses and I almost said Zipporahs. I'm not sure that would be a compliment. But I'm sure that there are some Moses here with us today. And Aaron, certainly. And Zipporah, you know, I really believe that Zipporah was a godly woman. Now, we don't find a lot written about her that way. She was a Midianite. And you may know the Midianites were Lot's descendants. And the Israelites later the Midianites were not very friendly toward the Israelites and vice versa. But I see here a wife that was faithful and that stood behind her husband, not just behind her, but with him. I believe it's why God took the rib out of Adam's side and not, you know, a bone out of his foot or out of his head, but out of his side, because a wife should be a helpmeet, a helper. But we all are equal. We are equal, co-equal before God, side by side. And I see that here with Moses and Zipporah, a faith, a family, a faith, but also a Pharaoh. Some of you may spell it that way, and the Bible spells it that way, but I had to stick with the F's, so you can change that. Pharaoh. What can we learn about Pharaoh? Well, Moses went back, and God was true to His word. It says the people believed when they heard that the Lord had paid attention to him and that he had seen their misery, and they bowed down and worshipped. So when we are obedient to God, when we are obedient to those promptings of faith in our heart, others will be blessed. Other lives will be blessed. But we can be sure also that there will be an opponent. And the Bible calls him the devil. And he is a personal being. He is a being that God actually created. We have some clear indications of that in the Bible, that he was created to be an angel. But he rebelled against God and he became full of hate. He was full of hate in that rebellion toward God and toward his people. And he is still with us today. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I see it here in the person of Pharaoh. Because the devil can possess people's lives like the Holy Spirit possesses our lives and wants to. But the devil will stand against you. If you take your stand with God's people, if you obey the things of God and the things of His Word, and you give your life to Him, you answer His call upon your life, you're going to have that opponent. And he's going to stand against you. He's going to keep you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to defeat what God wants to do through you, just like Pharaoh did here. And it's why we need, like Moses, to be equipped, to know that this is going to happen. God had told him beforehand that Pharaoh wasn't going to be happy about his wanting to take the people of Israel out of Egypt. So we have this opponent to deal with today. How do we do it? Well, we can't do it ourselves. That's why we need the Lord in our lives. And you can say, well, I'm not a Christian, so it doesn't apply to me. Well, it does apply to you. He wants to keep you where you are. He wants to keep you from making that first step of inviting Christ to come into your life. So if you'll invite Jesus into your life, Jesus is bigger than the devil. And he's not going to let the devil defeat you. If you will just yield your life to him and say, Jesus, take over. When I was growing up in school, I wasn't always this big. I was kind of a runt when I was, you know what a runt is. I was kind of just a little kid, kind of a target of bullies. But I always found somebody bigger than me to kind of hang around. I guess, you know, God gave me that much smarts. Not much, but there's one right there. Somebody bigger than me that could kind of want, you know, take care of me when a bully set in after me. That's what Jesus wants to do for you. He's your big brother. And the Bible says he's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And he won't let the devil defeat you if you'll just lean upon your big brother, Jesus. So there's this opponent that we can learn from. His opposition, certainly we see it here. Notice what Pharaoh said after Moses came to him and Moses and Aaron. And they said, let my people go. But Pharaoh responded, who is the Lord that I should obey him by letting Israel go. I know not the Lord. And what's more, I will not let Israel go. Just that simple. So Moses and Aaron said, okay, we tried. And Moses went back to Midian, and Aaron went back to Goshen. No, that's not what happened. They knew that this was going to happen, didn't they? And they knew enough to believe that God was big enough that He was going to make it happen. And so they persisted. They persisted in faith. And we see that here. But you can be sure that if you will trust Jesus as your Savior, rededicate your life to Him, answer His call upon your life, you're going to have this opponent to deal with, Pharaoh. Really, the devil. You can't deal with him by yourself. You need the Lord with you. And that's the opportunity here. That because God had told them that through Pharaoh, He was going to demonstrate His power. How He is bigger. How He is more powerful. Now, I know things are pretty bleak in the world now. I mean, if you listen to the news, they're not so bad if you don't listen to the news. But if you listen to the news, it's, you know, a lot worse. A lot of hand-wringing and, you know, wondering, well, what... You know, how's anything good going to come out of this? And, you know, is God still in control? I mean, it seems like everything's out of control. But it's the same God, isn't it? He's the same God. And there's an opportunity here for us to share the good news of Christ because people are hungry today. Not just physically, but spiritually. People want to know, you know, what's going to happen after if the atom bomb is dropped or a terrorist attack. I mean, these... Islamic radical fascist type people, why they could, they're already wanting to get an atom bomb and set it off in New York City. Probably not Alturas. Who knows? Wouldn't take much. That's the opportunity that we have. May we be faithful as Moses and Aaron were faithful. May we be fearless because we have a big brother who will take care of us. And may we just persist in the calling that God has given us. To share the good news of Christ, to win all who can realize that they need to be saved, lead them to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.